Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my husband, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. The human species is an amazing study. We have so many traits and qualities that we created over time that simply stepping back and thinking about what our thumbs and brains have allowed us to do, it's pretty amazing. So the other day when I was trying to communicate with my son, I was inspired to discuss the topic of communication with you. Now, before I share the story, I want to articulate a few things for you to reflect upon. The first is my five least favorite words when they are strung together. My, you, get, email, did. When those words are strung into a sentence, I get this feeling in my temples like my eyeballs are trying to escape their sockets sideways. The phrase is, the one that drives me absolutely crazy, is when someone comes up to me and says, "Did you get my email?" You may as well tell me I look fat in my pants, that I have spinach in my teeth, or that my clothes don't match. It drives me nuts. To me, when I am asked about a communication with you that was not responded to by me, the obvious answer is no. But then what happens next is even worse. They proceed to foreshadow for me what's in the email they sent me, and then they tell me everything that's actually in the email. And then they say, "I look forward to your response," which I usually respond by saying, "Hey, wait, I'll tell you my answer." And then they'll say to me things like, no, wait, I'll wait for you to respond to my email. Oh, then a little seed of anxiety is planted. My right shoulder starts to ache and I can't get to my phone or laptop fast enough to respond just so it gets off my mind. And then I usually write something like, "Okay, this is fine. Please do what we discussed." Why is communication so frustrating? Why doesn't anyone receive the information I give them the way in which I deliver it? Why isn't there a standard style that everyone adheres to? Well, as we've evolved from smoke signals as a primary long-distance communication tool to way too many modern options, we also have many different expectations. Today, we're going to explore how important it is as a leader to change your behavior to meet the needs of everyone in your leadership sphere so that you can get the most out of them and they can feel empowered because you are communicating to your team in a manner that they need, not the one that's the easiest for you. So here it goes. So the other day, I'm trying to get a hold of my son. Now, he is a 17-year-old, a senior in high school, and is in possession of one of our phones. Did you hear that, by the way? He's in possession of one of our phones. It's not his phone. But anyways, I did the following in an effort to communicate with him. First thing I did was call him. It rang several times, it dropped to voicemail, and he didn't answer. So I hung up and went to my Apple app called Find Friends. It's a great parenting tool, and I searched for his location. Technology, right? Pretty awesome. I was looking to see if he was still at school, because that would be okay with me if he didn't answer, and if he didn't answer because he was at school, I'm fine with that. But that wasn't the case, and he didn't answer the phone when the single most powerful man in his life, his dad, called. But there had to be a good reason, right? So I see on the map that he's at our house. Okay. Then I text him a simple note, "Please call me." Now, as time goes on, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes or so, I begin to get frustrated because every time I'm home, I see my son and his phone are connected, like connected. It's in his hand at all times. It's always at his side, a constant vibrating distraction and a tool he utilizes incessantly. So after 10 minutes of no response, I stop thinking good thoughts about how maybe he's reading a book or doing homework, maybe trying to spend uninterrupted time with his sister, and I start to think to myself, how else can I get his attention? Because I really need to talk to him before he starts soccer practice. Then I started to think about how to get a hold of him on his terms, how he needs to be communicated with, and then it hit me, Snapchat. That's right. Snapchat, something I am not very good at or familiar with. I mean, I can make the cool bunny ear photos or give myself a goatee or have flames come out of my mouth. But other than that, I'm not good at using it. So, like an old man that I am in his eyes, I open the app and looking frustrated and confused, I take a picture of myself and then using pink neon writing, which I still don't know how it happened, I typed, "Call me." I hit send and a second later my phone rings.
Hey, Dad, what's up?
Startled at the quick turnaround time, I ask him, What are you doing?
I'm just chilling before practice.
Did you have your phone on you this whole time?
Yeah. Why?
Did you get my phone call, text, email, telegram, letter I sent in the mail? And then I started to think to myself, just forget it. Because I got what I needed, and then it hit me. I bet when I ask him if he got my text, he feels the same way I feel when someone asks me if I got their email. So, what is the point of this rambling? Well, first of all, it felt really good, and it was slightly therapeutic, so thank you. But most importantly, it serves as a lesson in our leadership about how we need to change to meet the needs of those we serve. Let's review the last 25 years of organizational communication strategies before getting to modern strategies. When I first started teaching, there was a very complicated memo system. You see, there was no email. There were light blue memos, which were not urgent but needed to be read. There were goldenrod memos that indicated an action needed to be taken. There were red memos that indicated that there was an emergency and action was needed immediately by everyone involved that got the red memo, or that the information included in that red memo was incredibly important. Then there were pink memos, which meant that there was a meeting taking place that you needed to attend. And then there were green memos that were for your information, but you didn't need to do anything with it. This is what the world did before emailing: memos. Then there were people on the staff who would reply to all, which means they typed up their own memo, found a different colored piece of paper, usually purple, and copied it for the entire staff and put it in the mailboxes for all to read, and then someone else would respond in another colored paper, and a never-ending cycle of memos would be created. Mostly, these memos ended up being pinned to a corkboard so you wouldn't lose them, or you dropped them into a three-ring binder for ready reference. But it took time. After decades of duplicate memos, carbon paper, and colored memos, we were hit with email. Oh man, it was so cool when it first came out. The idea that you could electronically send a message to someone and then they could respond instantly? Oh, it was wild and fun. And at first, you really liked it. But then, the response came quickly. And that became a problem, because people would respond really quickly, no thought, and that created conflict. And then, before you knew it, you were responding back to them, and they were reading into an email things that you didn't even say. Before, while you were angrily putting memos in all the mailboxes, someone could come along and read it and be like, hey, I don't think this is a good idea. And you'd have second thoughts, and you'd throw them all away. But once you click send, ooh, it's there forever. But then we began texting. And when we started texting, it was like Twitter. You communicated in very short and to-the-point bursts because, like a telegram back in the day, you actually had to pay for each text. Would you believe that there was a time where there wasn't unlimited texting? Crazy to think of today. So after that short history lesson of organizational communication strategies, let's jump to today. Now we have a gazillion apps, clouds, I don't even know what that is or where stuff goes, and ways in which to communicate. And as a result, it is almost impossible for you to effectively communicate to everyone without the noise of every other communication tool getting in the way. Emails are accidentally deleted while you're power swiping on the throne or couch. Voicemails are never listened to. Texts are confusing because they lack voice and are peppered with emojis that mean things you didn't even realize. I swear to God, I still think that's just chocolate ice cream. And people are using videos, voice apps like Voxer, and I think people are interpretively dancing communication now. Well, no wonder communication is at an all-time low on satisfaction scores. There are too many options, and as a result, people are missing the message. As a matter of fact, when I did a quick Google search of effective communication strategies in the workplace, there was an article that was titled 41 Smart Tips to Improve Communication in the Workplace. 41! I just tried three with my son and was on the verge of driving home and smashing my own phone that he gets to use because he wasn't answering it. All right, okay. Enough of the old guy in the gallery from the Muppets mindset.
I have a good mind to go home.
If you had a good mind, you wouldn't be here in the first place.
Now that we have identified the root, which is too many options, what are we to do as leaders? Well, we have to narrow down the communication preferences of the people we serve, and to do that, we need to go to a tool.
First, we need to do some social engineering to ensure we can get to an outcome that we can actually deliver upon. So here's the process to use with your team. It's called the consensogram. I've discussed this tool before, but not in this context. What you do is you get a poster-sized piece of paper and list the forms of communication used in your organization on the Y-axis. That would be up and down, north and south, on the left side of the paper. Admittedly, I had to look it up. I always forget. It's like port side and starboard side on a boat. Anyway, now, I always have some fun with this, and here's what's on my list on the Y-axis. First, communication preference, face-to-face. Second, phone call. Third, text. Fourth, email. Fifth, carrier pigeon. And sixth, snail mail. Now, on the top of the paper, you create a scale of 10 to 1 and label the scale. 10 is on the left-hand side of the scale and reads, quote, most desired. And in the middle of it, on the number 5, it states, I can live with that. And on number 1, it says, no way. Each person in the organization is given 6 sticker dots. You know, the kind you see at rummage sales. They're circular. They can be used to label things. And then you ask each person to initial them and place them on the scale for each of the preferences for how they like to receive information. What develops in front of you is a clear and visual indication for you and everyone else. And it defines what are the preferred modes of communication. This is an important process for several reasons. The first time I did this, I assumed, incorrectly, that everyone would prefer face-to-face as their desired form. Wow, was I ever wrong? Did you know that there are people who prefer to get an email so that they can read it, think about it, and respond to it? What? Oh, wait, that means you're thoughtful and a processor, and you like some time before you respond. Okay, I get that. I value that. Did you know that there are people who prefer to have questions texted to them so they can determine if they need to call you or just to send you a negative or affirmative response? Now that's called a thumbs up or a thumbs down emoji. Did you know that some people prefer to have it on paper and actually print emails? Did you know that others would like face-to-face and then have you call them to rediscuss it and have you send an email to record all of the things you talked about? It's exhausting to think about all of the different ways people want to be communicated with, but it sure beats reacting regularly to the question, did you get my email? Now, you probably didn't know that. And do you know why you didn't know it? Because you never asked. And why would we? Most of us expect others to adhere to our needs and adopt our communication preferences. But wait, they don't know what that is either. They don't know what yours is. So here's why the process is important. In life, the classroom, and the conference room, if we don't take the time to disclose our communication preferences, people will continue to fail us with frequency, and then we grow frustrated. The first time I did this, everyone in the room built empathy for each other. All of a sudden, people were like, oh, that's why you're slow to respond to emails. Yeah, I hate that too. Oh, that's why you always call me after I text you. Oh, that's why you schedule meetings for us to meet in person. Yep, 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 yep. We also begin to understand, and then not just one person changes their behavior, but we all do, at least most of us. Process never fails people. People fail to create processes and review them. This simple communication tool outlines for all involved how best to communicate, what we prefer, and how we will work together to harmonize and be in sync as a team. Now, I used the term socially engineered before. There are about 10 more acceptable forms of communication you could have put on this list, things like videos, audio messages, etc., whatever you use internally. But if the list becomes too comprehensive, it also creates the conditions for people to be resentful. Because if one person in the organization chooses, I prefer Zoom meetings or one-on-ones or those different types of communication tools, and they're the only person, and the rest of the group says, nope, we're not doing it, they're going to resent it. Limit the list and make sure there are communication modes that you can do. Then you and your team will evolve. Communication, like leadership, is about your influence, and bad communication can destroy a culture. Great communication can fuel a culture. However, all communications needs to be what the other person wants and needs. This applies to every kid, every parent, every partner, employee, and stakeholder. You and only you can increase your effectiveness of communicating, and that is only done by asking others, how would it be best for them? So let's do some smart thinking. Describe strategies you can employ to determine the best ways to communicate with your team. List the ways you prefer to receive information. Describe an approach you can employ to change how people receive your information. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please remember to share this on your social media platform and rate the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on. That helps me help others. And as always, thank you to the Wild Pennies for their great music. They've got a couple of shows coming up, one on September 15th in Des Moines, Iowa, and another in Cincinnati on September 21st. Go to their website for more details. Lastly, I want to share some serious and sweet irony. While I was preparing for this podcast, my son Charlie sent me a text. Why? Because he knows that's how to get a hold of his old man. He had a minor problem that he was worried about. A clutch pedal spring broke on his car, and he heard it and felt the spring snap. But he didn't know what it was or what was wrong. He sent me a vague text, and it lacked enough information for me to know what was going on or what was wrong. And actually, he said, "I did a Y-turn. I heard this weird sound, but the car seems okay." That's what he wrote in the text. And I was like, spaz dad. I drove over to where his car was, checked it out. I got a spring and I fixed it. But then I stopped and said to him, "Why did you text me?" He said, "Well, dad, that's your thing. You text, and I know you'll read it." Oh, okay. So then I said, "Why don't you answer my texts?" His answer, "Well, if it's important, I know you'll Snapchat me." What the heck? It looks like the Knightsky family is going to be doing a consensogram after Sunday dinner so we know how to communicate with each other. Anyways, have a great week. And remember that while you may believe you are the one who has authority as a teacher, school leader, CEO, doctor, lawyer, whatever, no one is going to be influenced by you if you're not in tune with how they want to be communicated with. Don't be the crazy leader running into the storm screaming, "Why aren't you running? Didn't you read my email?"